Good morning. And I do just want to welcome each one here again. It's a blessing to be together in this way. Let's pause for prayer. Father, again, we stand here needy before you and just asking that you would continue to speak to each one of us and draw our hearts to you. And Lord, I pray that you would take these words, your word, and just ask that each one of us would be able to learn from it what you desire. Again, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and grace. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lately, I've been thinking a lot about destiny or choice. And Calvinism popularized the idea of unconditional election. I'm just going to say that right out front. I do not believe that. God gives us a choice. What we will do with our life and the circumstances of our short sojourn here. But interestingly enough, I think that this teaching of unconditional election might come a little closer to us than what we might sometimes think. And I especially think of one thing, and that's not what my focus is going to be. But one of the things I think of is this belief of an eternal Israel. And by the way, I'm looking forward to hearing that talk and that debate or whatever you want to call it. Unfortunately, I won't be here for it, but I certainly do look forward to listening to it after the fact. But this thing of an eternal Israel, especially as it relates to a militant Zionistic view of it. You know, yes, God gave eternal promises to Israel. At the same time, he put some conditions to it. God gave eternal promises to David. And yet, at the same time, he put some conditions to it. And I do believe that God's purpose and his plan in the eternal scope of what he promised, I think is still ongoing today. But not in the way that a lot of times we think about it. And I think it has to do a lot with this whole idea of unconditional election and how we just have to, you know, God said this is how it's going to be. It doesn't matter what we do or don't do. This is just how it's going to be. To a certain degree, yes. But we as humans have a choice. You know, Adam and Eve, from the very beginning, God didn't want automatons. He wanted someone who would serve him willingly and would have a desire to serve him. But just going back to 1 Chronicles, talking about these whole promises. 1 Chronicles 28. Starting to read there in verse 1. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captain over the thousands, the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance possessions of the king, and of his sons, with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler. And for the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to my commandments and my judgments as to this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, in the congregation of the Lord, and the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. So we see the promises. We see the eternal promises. And yet, said, there's a condition attached to it. And probably one of the hard things of life, and sort of the two competing things that I see in our lives, is that we refuse to take responsibility of our choices, or we go the other extreme and believe it's all on us. You know, the blessing of the Lord rests on those who choose to follow him. And God chose each one of us personally. And God chose the whole world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God chose everyone, and yet it's conditional. God made it so that anyone could find him. Not one person has to ever lose his way. Every last one of us has a chance to find him if we want to. And his love is unconditional. But God won't force faith upon any one of us. And God will not push any one of us to do what we don't want to do. So even though God's love is for everyone, and God's love is universal, at the same time, we have choices. And we have to make the choices. And I was thinking of various people in the Bible and some of the choices and some of the things they had to make. And especially thinking of choices in our destiny, I was thinking of Cain and Abel. And if we turn to Genesis chapter 4, we'll start reading there in verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain, and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any man finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Choices. He had a choice. And Cain got angry. And then he had a choice as to what he was going to do with that. God warned him beforehand, said, Cain, watch out. You have problems. You have a problem. Deal with it. At the same time, I'm not going to interfere with you. But just be careful. Sin lies at the door. So God, he gave Adam and Eve the choice to eat or not to eat. Now he's talking to Cain here, saying, watch out, you have a choice. Then we go to the story of Jacob and Esau. We'll go to Genesis 25. And this was actually the story that sort of started my mind churning on this whole thing of choices and destiny. Genesis 25, and we'll begin reading in verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padan Aram, and the sister of Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And they would have been married already 20 years by this time. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. Do we see destiny here? Do we see how God just said, this is how it's going to be? Why? And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And Jacob means either like heel catcher, or one who grabs a hold of the heel, or also like supplanter. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, which means red. And Jacob said, Sell me this day my birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus did Esau despise his birthright. So here we see a choice that Esau made concerning his birthright. Now the Bible doesn't say this, but extra-biblical writings talk about this same instance of when that he had actually killed three men and was running from the group that had been with them. And I'm not sure if he really knew, if they knew who he was specifically, but he ran away from them, got away from them. And so he might have still been, so he was very hungry, but at this point still a little bit unsure. You know, those men might know who did it, and they might come and kill me yet. So for me, just sort of an interesting thought that maybe, you know, maybe he was fearing a lot more for his life than a lot of times we would think of just by reading the story here. But either which way, he made a choice. And he said he despised his birthright. And elsewhere it talks about how later he would have desired to have it back. But he couldn't, because he had made the choice. You know, that's how it is for us so many times. You know, yes, we can make choices. And later we wish we could change our bad choices. And I will say, thankfully, the Lord redeems. And the Lord can give back that which was back there. And the Lord can regrow that which the locust ate. But many times here we are faced with the consequences of our bad choices. Even though the Lord redeems, even though the Lord can change. And it does, just because we messed up back then doesn't mean we have to live there. He gives us the choice to amend our ways and change and walk in what He wants us to walk, because He is also a redeeming God. Now going on to chapter 27, and we'll start reading in verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son. And he said unto him, My son. He said to him, Behold, here am I. He said, Behold, now I am old, and know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison, to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and he may eat, that he may bless thee for before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house. And he put them, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hand and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of thy venison, and that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. He said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and the nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be everyone that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken the venison and brought it me, and have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me even so also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob, which would be supplanter? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took me away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy Lord, And all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break the yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau's elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother to Haran, and tarry ye with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? Did Rebekah have to scheme to accomplish God's purpose? Did she have to incite her son to lie to accomplish God's purpose? I'm not sure if Jacob and Esau or anyone else knew really what God had told her back then when they were still in her womb. But she did. She knew what was coming. But did she have to lie and cheat in that way? And then did Jacob have to go along with that and lie multiple times to accomplish God's will? They didn't. They didn't have to. God could have accomplished his will in another way. Unfortunately, we don't know how he would have done it, right? But see, those are the kind of complicated, if you want to say it, the complicated things that we run ourselves into. And sometimes we think we have to help God with our little schemes and our little way of doing things. But we don't have to. Now the promises of God are sure, and they were sure in this way. He was going to be the leader in this tribe. He was going to be the one through whom the promise to Abraham was passed on. But they would not have needed to interfere with that. And Sarah, you know, think of Sarah, and then later Abraham together with her. They tried to help God with the promise of a son. Didn't go too well. They had the choice. And God allowed them to do it. And yet we also see that those choices brought the consequences that they got. And it just seems to me that there's a lot of faith required to allow God to accomplish His will in us. Humility and faith. Those two things have to be a part of us. If we're going to allow God to actually work through us in our story and the things we face. And especially when we come to the point of accepting our hard choices. Because life can be rough. And we are many times handed with a really hard set of choices. What are you going to do here? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? And life is not easy. Back when I was growing up, I thought, you know, once I get to be 21 or beyond that, you know, life is just going to be simple, right? And it's just going to be one of those things where then I can go on with life. Any of you who has been through that process knows how that happens, right? It just doesn't quite... It's not quite as easy once you get there. And instead of all of a sudden everything just being there, available for you or whatever, you get presented with a bunch of really hard choices. And the longer you go, the more choices you have. And the more you have to exercise humility and faith and allow God to teach you what choices to make in the middle of those things. And I would love to be here and say, I've always made the right choices. Unfortunately, I haven't. And I've had to live with the consequences of some of those choices. Now, I'm really glad for the teachings that I got and a lot of the things that I was taught so that some of these choices weren't hard at all. And I could choose correctly. But life isn't easy. And we have to accept those hard choices. And we have to make the right ones. And even though we make the right choices, if we go to Hebrews 11, we will find that just because we make the right choices doesn't mean that we'll see the rewards here. You know, some of these folks were looking at the promises that were way ahead, hundreds of years out. And yet they lived their life today in faith of that future event. I mean, that's amazing. But that is also what we are called to do. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know how long this earth is going to last. We don't know how many years we will live here. Because, you know, our day could be today. You know, we could go out as we're going home and we could die in an accident. You know, our day arrived. That could be possible. Or any other way. But at the same time, we are given choices. How are we going to live while we live here? Are we going to live in humility? Are we going to live in faith of things we have not seen yet? And thinking of people who took hard choices, and their hard realities
and blossomed in them. I just had to think of Joseph. And we'll go to chapter 45 here in Genesis. This was after he had been in prison, he had been a slave, and now he was the governor of Egypt. And here's what he had to say about what God had done. Starting to read in Genesis 45:1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourself, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." What a statement filled with faith. It was not you who sent me here, it was God. And he had already seen what God had done. And he was in many ways already beyond some of the hardest choices he faced in life. At the same time, he recognized that it was God who helped him through it. And it was God who had a purpose, even a hard one, and then gave him the grace to choose correctly when he was presented with the various scenarios he could have gone through. Even when Potiphar's wife enticed him, even then, he says, "How could I do this great wickedness and sin against whom? Against God." Matthew 26. See one of the hard circumstances that Jesus faced. And I would say the hardest. Matthew 26, starting to read in verse 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane." This was after they had already eaten supper, went out of the city. "And saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. And he said unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and he saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Jesus was faced with the ultimate choice. And the thing about it is, why it was so hard, I think, as he was facing this, is because he could have made a choice to not do it. He had the option of asking the angels to come and take him off the cross, to get him out of there. He had options. And yet, in his flesh, and we can see how it hurt. He groaned in this whole thing, and it was hard. Yet he chose. He said, Lord, God, how do you say? O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Thy will be done. A choice to allow God's will instead of his own. Then I have to think of Paul in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12, and we'll begin reading there in verse 7. And he says, Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sakes. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The hard choices, and yet the benefits. But as I said before, if we're only going to make the hard choices because of the benefits we will receive right now, we won't always receive them now. Many times, the benefits of our choices are way further out ahead, or even not here upon this earth. They're eternal choices that we make. And so just going back to this thought of the two defaults that we a lot of times go for, either refuse to take responsibility for our choices or believe it's all on us to make these choices instead of allowing in faith and humility for God to make those choices and to give us the direction to make those choices each day. And so we have the option. Will I accept my hard choices? Will I maturely choose the right choice? And that's important. Because after all, my choices shape my destiny. And that's why it's so important. That's why I believe we're here this morning. If we would not be worried, well, I shouldn't say worried, if we wouldn't be interested in our destiny, and if we would not be interested in allowing God to work in us and change us and transform us, we wouldn't be here this morning. We'd be off doing something else. So I'm glad we have made the choice to be here. Because we want to make choices. We want to make right choices. And we want to be encouraged in that way. So I just want to bless you all for that. And hopefully we can all just continue to make those right choices, to allow God to do those things in our hearts. And the Lord will bless us as we in humility and faith make those choices. And He has a heaven prepared for a people who choose to be there. Not those who don't choose, but those who choose to be there, He most certainly has a place prepared. Like it says in Hebrews, He has prepared for them a city. Because while we're here, we're constantly reminding ourselves it's not here, it's out there. What we're really living for here is something else. And our whole focus becomes here but eternal. This, but that. And that will shape our destiny. May the Lord bless you. Let's kneel for prayer. God eternal, we again just want to thank you. Lord, even though we're frail humans, You have given us the choice to make the right choices. And Lord, Your great love is evident every day as You allow people to make wrong choices time after time after time. And many times, people think that just because you don't interfere in that process, you don't exist. But Lord, that just even more shows that You love each one of us. And You continue to send Your Spirit to each one of us to speak to us, to help us, to draw us to make the right choices. And Lord, thank You that You have given us the power also with Your Spirit to live above the wrong choices. And You have redeemed our past. And You continue to redeem our present. Lord, I just pray for each one of us here. And I do ask that if there's anyone here who has not made that choice to serve You, I pray that You would again, in Your mercy, speak to them and help them to recognize their need of You and to make that choice. Even though we don't understand and even though we don't know the future, Lord, continue to help us make those right choices. Again, Father, we thank You and we praise You for all in the name of Jesus. Amen.